Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Everybody to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So you were looking up something about the Trump tennis?
Yeah, you know, the sneakers that he's selling for $400 and sold out within an hour. Now I'm looking on Google, and I just put Trump golden sneakers to see what they were selling for. I don't know if this guy's going to get it, but he is asking $10,000 for one pair. If you're a size 10 and you want some sneakers, I got some here for you.
If they had been a size 11, I might have gone for it. I might have gone for it.
I'm sure that your wife would have no problem with that.
Well, I would. I'd be disappeared if I spent 10 grand on a pair of sneakers.
You take out a loan for some... For some sneakers, some tennis shoes.
I doubt any bank would allow me to borrow money for sneakers.
You know, next week they could be worth $10,007. So you might make money.
That's insane.
All right. Hey, I was asking you, we were talking to each other, you know, a story that we didn't have, I think broke on Thursday, whatever. Was this ruling by a court in New York against former President Trump, charging him with business fraud? Is that the right way to express it? Say it.
Yeah, I guess overvaluing is the collateral that he used to borrow money for business expenses.
Yeah, and then this judge he alone has the authority in the state of New York to fine President Trump.
Well, he had the authority to declare him guilty, just about. I mean, I don't remember a case that it
like
would have
been. Like a
trial,
you mean?
Yeah. He came into this trial, and he could not argue for his innocence because that was a foregone.
That had already been decided.
If they had had a trial, that would have been front page news. The judge and Letitia James, I think, just got together.
Well, I tell you one thing: if I'm a business person, I'm not staying in New York with that kind of. If it's like you've described it, Steve, I didn't read the decision. Obviously, I'm talking about the decision by that judge against the Trump Organization, but he fined him like $385 million.
$355 million,
and then. Now, can and kick Trump out of doing business in New York for, 3 years or something like that? So let me ask you this question. Can the former president appeal that? He can, right?
Well, Chris, we asked Chris Woodward this morning to check on that, and he did text around that the New York Post says that Trump can appeal this massive—
To the New York Supreme Court?
I'm not sure. I did not. Okay. We didn't have time to ask Chris about that. He was also waiting to hear back from Jenna Ellis of Jenna in the Morning here on AFR about her take on that, and she had not gotten back to him. So perhaps sometime this week we can talk to Jenna about some of these details about the what if, how much, that kind of thing.
Listen, that New York Attorney General, last name is James.
Letitia James.
She campaigned on Get Trump, right?
Right.
Yes. All right. So then that alone, you shouldn't say something. You should not say something like that when you're campaigning.
Right. You should, because you are saying, I already know he's guilty before I investigate.
You should not say that. You should not name names like that.
If you want to win an election and you think you've got a very anti-Trump district,
well, in New York, in the state of New York, listen, if I were President Trump, and I'm sure probably he would say this in retrospect, I would have moved all my business out of New York when I got elected president in 2016, because he became a target by the New York left then. Right. Am I right?
Right.
So, but anyway, about this particular case of his business fraud, or alleged. Listen, he, I couldn't understand who the victim was in this. I don't think there was one.
That's what they're saying. There was no victim.
Okay, so they charged Trump with overvaluing his properties, right?
Right.
And they call that fraud because they're saying he got better interest rates from banks or so forth, right? I've got to finish this line of thinking. Right. Am I right?
I think so.
Okay.
That and another
consideration. Okay. But then the banks that he got loans from, he paid them back with interest, and they didn't even complain.
And not only that, but if he was borrowing money based on his appraised value, then he borrowed a lot more money than he could have if it was the lower value.
Listen,
which means the bank made more money.
Banks, and then the banks, furthermore, if they have questions about the value of property, they send their own appraisers out. Am I right about that?
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Amen.
All right, so again, to my point, now some things that Trump does and says gets him in trouble. Namely, his mouth. Running the mouth for Trump is the primary reason he gets in trouble a lot of times, politically speaking. But in this case, I think this is just outright political persecution in the state of New York, because they're lefties in New York. They hate Republicans and they hate Trump, and she vowed to go after him. And she's the attorney general. I mean, that's a very powerful position in the state of New York. And they went after him and they nailed him. Now, he may win this at the appellate court level. It may be overthrown.
Yeah, I'm looking at a Newsweek article on this, and there's a professor that they interviewed, Professor Greg Germain of Syracuse University College of Law. He says there was never a strong case for saying there was a victim in Trump's fraud case. And he told Newsweek, quote, "The evidence of reasonable reliance on Trump's financial statements by the quote unquote victims is very weak and may be grounds of appeal."
Yeah. Okay. So also, I want this, if when Trump appeals this with his lawyers, give me other examples that you've taken people to court and find them because they've supposedly overvalued their property.
Right.
That happens every day, all day, all over America. You know what I'm saying?
It's the bank's responsibility.
It's the bank's responsibility.
If I go down to my bank,
yeah,
and say I want to borrow $10,000,
right,
to buy a pair of Trump gold sneakers, okay, they're going to say, all right, what's your collateral? And they are going to value it. Now, I can stay all day long and say, well, listen, this here lawnmower I've got, this thing's worth just $20,000. I'll put that as collateral. They'll go, your lawnmower's not worth $20,000. And they say no to the loan. I can't believe. Now, I have read things that say the banks may have given Trump the lower interest rate, not because of the quote unquote inflated value of his properties, but simply because they wanted to keep his business. Those are decisions that are made by banks all the time.
And by the way, if you have borrowed $10,000 twice or five times for other sneakers and paid them back every time,
right,
you're not going to.
Right. Right. What's your track record? I know. Another example you're talking about. If we called our bank, Allison and I called our bank and said we wanted to borrow $20,000 or whatever like that for whatever purpose, they would probably give that to us over the phone, without even having to value anything, because we've been customers for 40 years and we've paid back everything we've ever had, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the banks would have looked at Trump's track record.
Right.
Now Trump has had a checkered past. I mean, he did file bankruptcy like six times. I mean, so there is that. But I'm just saying, The deal here that's being scrutinized is between the banks, I think one of them was a German bank, and the Trump Organization. is between them. And if you're just nitpicking,
it's clearly political.
It's political nitpicking to try to punish Trump.
And the punishments here are just astronomical. I've read all kinds of people saying this is unheard of, this kind of, without a real victim, putting right. a $355 million price tag on.
And that's left up to one judge?
Yeah.
That was just one liberal judge.
With the last name Engoron, that to me makes him sound like a villain in Lord of the Rings.
So, okay, so you've got the this case in New York, and we're all kind of seeing that it's a political hit job, and it's likely to be reversed on appeal, according to many people. The Fannie Willis case is falling apart in Georgia. The documents case, while he
may... Wait a minute. Hold on just a second, Steve. Excuse me for interrupting you there. Sure. Are you talking about the... You're talking about the district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia.
Yes, that had an improper relationship with one of the person that she hired as a prosecutor.
Yeah,
so,
that was.
And the reason that alleged, it's falling right? apart is because it's possible, and some say likely, that Fannie Willis has disqualified herself from the trial. And then the documents case in Florida, you can argue whether or not Trump was guilty, but Biden has the same exact problem, so they're going to be a double standard there. All of these legal challenges against Trump have holes in them, because some will argue they're all political,
I would say the document case, Tim, this is something you've made mention of. I think it's true. The documents case may be a little bit different because President Trump was asked for records back.
He defied a federal court order.
Yeah. So that may wind up being a little bit... I don't know what the law says with regards to this. President Trump claims that he has the right to decide whether he should turn them in or not. I'm just saying that one might be a little bit different, but I certainly think that Fannie Willis is in trouble. I'm not sure the case is in trouble if she's simply replaced.
I don't know. She's a minority woman.
I don't think she's
a minority.
Anywhere.
She's a minority. And
well, she's the one. Her and Letitia are the no. Her she's the one that is rabidly anti-Trump. She ran on this, and are they going to get
James?
I'm sorry. This is the
Fannie Willis.
Fannie Willis case. She ran on getting Donald Trump convicted. That was her sole purpose. That's how she got the votes.
Really? In Fulton County, Georgia? I mean, no. I didn't know that.
No. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the Edrigan, this decision in New York.
Yeah, the James, the AG, the lady AG in New York. Yeah, she did. So, yeah. But now the over in Georgia, my name's not Fannie Willis. That is a soap opera over there.
It is.
I watched a little bit of that last week, and that was.
And that judge, there's gotten a lot of criticism. I forget the judge's name, McAfee maybe. That judge let her get away with all kinds of monologues.
She just sass talked the lawyer. I mean, yeah. she basically ran the courtroom because she normally does run the courtroom because she's a district attorney. I don't know, Steve. That may go away, but they may just assign a different attorney to handle that case because it's really independent of the charges brought against Trump and his associates in that Georgia case. I don't know. A lot's going to play out in the next few months. We'll see what happens with respect to the lawsuits that President Trump, has to deal with going forward. All right, you're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story.
All right, let's talk about how social media is preparing for the 2024 elections.
How is it preparing, Steve?
And they're putting a lot of effort and money into preparing for these elections. So I am looking
because these social media companies just want a fair and free elections, don't they?
That's all they want.
But play it straight.
Play it straight, right down the middle.
So I'm reading from a document that is published by Meta. This is a Meta document. It's about Facebook.com from Meta. And the title is How Meta is Planning for the Elections in 2024. Let me read this paragraph. No tech company does more or invests more to protect elections online than Meta, not just during election periods, but at all times. We have around 40,000 people working on safety and security, with more than $20 billion investing in teams and technology in this area since 2016. Mm-hmm.
40,000. Now, you said this morning in our story meeting that they only have like about 60,000 employees. 70,000.
Yeah.
So that's well over half of their employees. Now, that is on content moderation.
67,000, sorry.
67,000. Yeah. So that is for content moderation. That does not mean it's all political content.
This is
moderation.
On their how they're planning for the election.
Right. They have 40,000 who pay attention to content moderation.
To elections.
Only to elections?
No tech company does more to invest or protect elections online. We have around 40,000 people working on safety and security with more than $20 billion invested in teams and technology in this area since 2016.
Well, that's, as they said on The Wizard of Oz, that's a horse of a different color.
Is that what they said on The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, remember the guy who opened the little hatch? I don't want to get – I'm sorry. I took us to
wait a minute. Hold on. I'm trying to remember my Wizard of Oz. What happened now?
You remember when Dorothy and her team of misfits went up to the Emerald City?
Yeah, I remember that.
The little door opened up, the little window thing in the door.
Yeah.
And they said, we want to see the wizard. And the guy was very grouchy.
Right.
Said, you can't. And they kept knocking and he opened and they said, well, this is Dorothy. I forget the exact wording, and he said, oh, well, that's a horse of a different color. And remember they had the horses of different colors that came through? Am I just misremembering?
All right. This, according to the Internet, which is never wrong, the term probably derives from a phrase coined by Shakespeare.
No, I'm not saying that the Wizard of Oz coined the term.
Okay.
I just, boy, you guys are just
talking about majoring on minors. I haven't said anything. I'm just listening to you, Ed. I'm not judging you.
Where that's a horse of a different color comes up, and then the next couple of scenes you see like green horses and they're all painted.
There you go.
All right, you go ahead.
I need to go back and rewatch that movie again because
I'm going to look this up while you guys continue to talk about important things.
I have it up for you right here.
Okay.
Now I do remember the horse with no name.
Been through the desert with one, right?
Yeah, I remember that part of that scene. And
I don't remember Dorothy and her team going through the desert, though. That confuses me.
Well, it was at the end of the movie, you had to wait for it was bonus.
Oh, is that on the bonus feature?
The horse of a different color was a horse which drew the carriage. I'm sorry, an ad popped up. In the opening Emerald City scenes of The Wizard of Oz, the cabbie, Frank Morgan drove the carriage drawn by it. It would periodically change colors, hence its name.
And so he said, one of the characters said, that's a horse of a different color?
I thought that was true, but now you're making me doubt myself.
That phrase is still used even today. You know?
Yes. Right.
If it's election, only election people, as opposed to all content moderators, that's a horse of a different color. That's a good example.
But a more common use is the expression, that's a different animal.
Boy, I'm just never going to use an expression again on the show. Completely sidetrack the conversation.
Well, I think because Steve, especially Steve, maybe me too, we doubted you for a minute there. But as it stands,
be any different.
Well, as it, you're correct.
Yeah.
You remember the scene from the movie, right?
Right.
And so you're to be applauded.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Steve and I going to applaud
for those who
you.
Are watching online, I salute you who are applauding me.
You're doing a free ad for Diet Coke right
there. I know,
there.
The label is putting on the wrong
pay
label.
If they're going to be on our show.
anyway, your point was that Facebook/Meta, yet another dumb idea to change the
right,
name of it.
Right.
They, you're a little suspicious of their efforts to handle disinformation, because we have seen in the past that they only view one side of some of these issues as being disinformation.
Disinformation is always in favor of the left.
Yes.
in this country in the mass media and on the social media. It just always is. And also, they get to define hate speech.
Right.
The left gets to define hate speech always. You say, well, they're being punished for hate speech, and you want to say, well, who decided whether it was hate speech or not?
Right.
Well, it's always the left-wingers.
Meta.
They get to define hate. And this goes back to the whole COVID. We all know now what went through with COVID. Anything that wasn't endorsed explicitly by Dr. Fauci and the CDC was considered misinformation and worthy of banning. You remember this?
Ivermectin.
Yes. Yes. Anything like, well, that we joke now, but yeah,
we got banned from YouTube.
This show.
Yes. Because I think Walker on one of our shows had mentioned the efficacy of ivermectin.
Right.
For combating the symptoms of.
And the next day we got a notice from YouTube or somebody saying we're shutting you down for medical misinformation.
Right.
Remember that? So that happened. So.
And that kind of thing spreads. The other day I told my wife that her supper needed some red pepper flakes, and she said, that is misinformation. She took my food away.
You've been banned.
See, that kind of thing spreads throughout the culture.
You need to get fix that so he can get his dinner again.
I had Thai food the other night. We don't eat Thai food much. You know what I'm talking about? And you guys ever eat?
No, I've never had it.
Oh, you never had it?
But I like spicy foods. Is that what this is going?
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, my friend. they have a dish, and maybe this is universal in all Thai foods. They have a dish you go order in. And they ask you, you want it mild or spicy? I don't know. Maybe there was another category. I don't know. But I said mild.
Yeah.
And it was still.
The mild was
the
spicy?
Mild was running hot.
After we get off the air, I want you to tell me where this Thai food
restaurant
is of which you speak.
It wasn't unbearable. It was a good dish.
Yeah.
It wasn't unbearable. I mean, it was, but it was. What I was saying was they had cut up a bunch of red hot chili peppers.
Oh.
Which their third album was great, by the way. But anyway, I don't listen to that band. I just know who they are.
No, that's
fine. They're headbangers, I think. But anyway, what I'm saying is they had sliced up a bunch of red hot chili peppers.
Yeah.
Into tiny little, I'm talking about the size of half your fingernail.
So you couldn't, like, slide them to the side of your plate?
No, you could barely see them. You could barely see them, but once you hit them, once your tongue hit them.
And so you're saying if you had gotten.
You knew you were alive, my friend.
If you had ordered spicy, that would have been a horse of a different color.
Yes. If I'd ordered spicy, I'd probably been hospitalized. They'd probably call the ambulance. But I'm just saying, it was, anyway, when somebody said something about hot, spicy food, and it reminded me of that.
And I once again got the
you
mentioned you went I was talking about my wife and the
misinformation. yes but it triggered me.
Yes.
And do you want me to tell you about where to go for Thai food?
I do after the show. I want to know that. But now, is it like Chinese food similar to?
I'm not a big Chinese food fan. You know they're communist over there. You know that
the Chinese restaurants.
They're
very
a secret weapon
to hear that.
No, I don't have anything against Chinese food. I've eaten at Chinese buffets.
I love Chinese food.
I'm more of a Japanese food guy.
Yeah,
I do eat
Indian,
Asian food, but it's just Indian.
Love Indian food.
But that curry there,
yeah,
that'll set you free too.
Indeed,
huh?
That'll set you free.
So I got that from JJ. He likes that expression.
That'll set you free.
That'll set you free. All right, we're out of time here. Probably good. It's probably a good thing that we're out of
a good thing.
Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.